Chess. Dope. Chess. Ivy double X, nigga. Shit.
Yo, I'm happy that I'm different. I'm trying to do what the next man did. Yo, I'm special. I got the power like X-Men did. Get your shovel. My music is groundbreaking. Shit. High as a skyscraper and strong as the foundation.
Yeah. Good morning again. Welcome to the Intelligent Rebel Squadcast, episode 3, third time's a charm. Sorry I'm late, I'm pretty sure you don't know, but I drop every Friday, but I fucked up because I had a whole bunch of shit to do, and yeah, I'm dropping on Saturday, so you're going to start your Saturday off with the IRS. Now, today's episode is The American Dream, so called my man up, my man Steez. Smart motherfucker, definitely intelligent, definitely rebellious, current college student doing his thing out there in Michigan. So, sat him down, got him on the phone. We talked about the American dream and what he felt it was and what I felt it was. And we had a great conversation. You motherfuckers are gonna love it. It's episode 3. It's coming. Sit your ass down. Listen to this episode and tell me about it. So, without further ado, get your smoke ready. Roll up. Pack a bowl. Do whatever you do. Pack the vaporizer. Whatever you do, nigga. And get ready for the Intelligent Rebel Squad Cast. The
foundation. I'm just tired of society telling me what to think. They selling me bullshit and expecting it not to stink. The men on the pulpit is just preaching to get the mink. I'm pulling these full shifts to help you just like a shrink.
Okay, so, yeah, like the American dream to me is basically how it first started, which is work hard and play by the rules, but I'm not the type that follows the rules. So that was cool back in the beginning of the birth of America, I should say. America, how we know it, and basically that how it related to frontier life. You know, when everybody came to America first, it was like, oh, it's the land of the opportunity. And, you know, it wasn't explored yet. Like, we were only, like, on the East Coast and setting up the colonies and everything. It was before we... You know, I'm saying we, like, I was a part of it, but...
Right.
People back then, you know, they explored west and then the gold rush came, but I think today, like, in modern times, it's really about... I think it's really more about innovation, like, to make your American dream more custom... It's more customizable, I would say. So it's more, like, on an individual basis. But the country as a whole, like, still has that principle of work hard and follow the rules, and you'll get where you need to be. And then, you know, nobody said that, hey, if you got an extra bit of money, you're doing good financial standing, like, that'll be easier for you. So, you know, it's simple to say that, but then you got all the extra technicalities that you got to deal with when it comes to, like, the American dream when you move here.
Because that's where I'm at with it. Like, the American dream to me always seemed to be the same type of narrative where, you know, you start off poor, basically, or you start from the bottom. You work real hard, then you move on, and you know, now you're successful, and now you're good. But then, when I'm looking at the current state of the game, and when I'm looking at the country, it's a lot more people that would be considered failures than the people that are succeeding. So when it comes to that, I feel like it's flawed in that sense. I feel like the American dream is more so of an illusion. Or like a, not, I'm not gonna say a mirage, but something that was maybe there at one point, but now it's kind of like not there anymore because the people where that dream would speak the most to, it's not happening for them. I'm not seeing a lot of the bottom people, you know, coming up. So what went wrong here? Where was the time the bottom people really just stopped being able to prosper and live the American dream?
For that, I wouldn't say, I wouldn't necessarily call the American dream an illusion. It's difficult, like, especially now, like, but, you know, because the American dream is basically, it's based on being free, like, to make your own choices and have the freedom to do whatever you need to do as possible to live up to your potential, pretty much, as a human. So you have that choice. No, I'm not saying this for easy for everybody because it's not like me. I'm damn sure having a hard time like trying to find my American dream.
Word.
It takes work, you know. So you gotta, I don't know, you kind of like gotta put yourself out there when it comes to like living in America and trying to be successful, because like, at least here anyway, I can't really speak on other countries because, you know, I haven't lived there. Like, I'm an American. So, like, I know from what I've learned is that a lot of success takes preparation for one. So, like, are you preparing yourself for dreams and doing what you need to do? And then number two is really just pure luck. Because, like, I didn't think, like, a lot of people that I met, you know, as far as business and events that I've been to, I never thought I would get to there, you know, to that position or meet these people anyway. But I did somehow, so like I kind of just, I call it luck, or just, you know, maybe I was just being a little favored boy, but I also took steps to prepare myself so that I can like be open to the opportunities, you know, that you would usually find here in America.
No.
But really with like, I guess where it all started going downhill, I think, is when like the rise of corporate America, how we like as a country invest more into all of these corporations, you know, beefing those up, and then that led to just like outsourcing jobs here, and the inequality gap that's going on between the rich and the poor. Because basically, when we first started out with the American dream, it was supposed to be on equal footing between the rich and the poor.
Right.
Like, it wasn't supposed to be a difference, like, with that. But yeah, you have money, but you still, like, had the opportunity to make something of yourself, whether you had a whole bunch of money or not. That was the original American dream. And then, like I said, when the California Gold Rush had started, that kind of changed a little bit, because people struck gold here. People, like hundreds of thousands of people came here looking for gold. And some, you know, not everybody found the gold, but the people that did, like, you know, they became instantly rich.
Right. It was. I think it was like the beginning of the richer get richer and the poorer get poorer, in the sense that, okay, I was the lucky dude to get the gold. And because now, you know, I'm winning, I'm getting this gold, and you're not, I'm not going to share my gold with you. I'm just going to keep accumulating my gold and making sure that my personal wealth is where it is. And when you look at the way it is now, and you see that people aren't offered the same resources as certain other people because of where they live or just the class that they're in and all of that stuff. Like, even when you look at things like, you know, government aid and assistance and stuff like that, it's still uneven in a sense for people of a lower class. So when we're looking at the corporations getting bigger and bigger and bigger and getting wealthier, and seeing that they're using foreign people or foreign places to make it cheaper for them to make more money, how does someone coming up right now win? You know, a guy working in a factory will want to be able to, you know, own a business someday. But, you know, all of the people, because, you know, it's better to be able to start at a lower point in your industry if that's your dream, if that's what you want to do. If you want to be able to be a head of a clothing company, you want to start at least at a clothing store or making clothes or doing something in your field so you can have a lot more experience. So when you're outsourcing these jobs to foreign places, that person that could have been, you know, in that job or had that, you know, aspiration to be in that field, he could have done that, but now he can't. And that's happening more and more as we look at these other corporations and what they're trying to do. So where does, in your opinion, where does that one guy or those people fall within the American dream, and how do they prosper and maneuver around that?
Well, okay, so we got the poor people. Poor people just poor. That's the kind of thing where it is now, where it's like obviously, like blatant, it was just blatantly obvious that all the rich are rich and the poor are just, you know, dead fucking poor.
Right.
But back then, you know, I would say maybe around the beginning of the 1900s, like it was kind of equal, you know, you still had big families and businessmen and everything that, you know, obviously had the money and were driving business in America anyway. But, you know, you still had the guy that was, you know, just the average Joe, that it was a lot easier to, like, I guess I would say, come up in, you know, with your place in the world, you know, minus, like, events with, you know, World War and the Great Depression, you know, early 30s, you know, crazy shit.
Yeah, yeah, that time in American history was really crazy. Like, I was just looking at, or, you know, hearing stories about how people were, like, going crazy, you know, people being evicted and kicked out of their homes. Like, it was a real, like, it was a true depression. Like, people were just nationally depressed. Like, that's a real thing. And, like, to come out of that and to be able to, you know, succeed or move forward from those times, this is supposed to reinforce or, you know, let us know that the American dream is still possible, because the country nationwide prospered again. You know, they didn't stay down. They didn't stay depressed. And I feel like that's where my biggest problem with the American dream is that it's showed to you or told to you that it's possible for everyone, and it affects everyone in America, but it's the people that need it the most that have the hardest time achieving those dreams. And I think the biggest thing that I did want to talk about in this episode was how the poor are really in the worst stance to be able to prosper, and they get the short end of the stick a lot, even when it comes down to jobs and stuff like that. It's more of a trickle down thing. Like, once all the good meaty jobs are taken by people who may have some more money or have a this type of education or whatever, then we'll trickle down the jobs to the people who aren't in the best schools or who aren't skilled in a way that other people are or whatever. But it was told to me since I was a little boy that these are the people, the downtrodden, the poor, the people who really can't prosper how they would like to, are the ones that the American dream focuses on, like, almost solely, because these are the people who are looking to win. So even when you look at, you know, foreigners coming here, how is it that they're able to open a business and do all of these things almost immediately once they get here, and people who have been living here their entire life can't get their business off the ground?
Well, all right, so talking about the foreign aspect here of the American dream, like, people, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but, you know, like, in recent decades, a lot of foreigners are coming here to go to school because, I mean, even though, like, you know, from the inside, and we're like Americans, and, you know, been in school and going to school and doing whatever, you know, we think it's shitty. You know, most of our lives do. And then, you know, they come here, and, you know, India also has a different culture than we do. You know, like, we're Americans, you know, like, I can talk about myself, damn it, because I'm an American. But,
yeah,
you know, we are kind of lazy over here. Like, and we think that we are entitled to a lot of shit, which we are not. You know, it's still, that's where it's like the same, the American dream, basic principle of, you know, working hard and, you know, following the rules. I don't know about following the rules, but, like, working hard, like, yeah, you don't have to work to, you know, get to where you need to be. And, like, India, they work all the time over here. They just had that kind of, that character, like, for their whole country. You know, we have a lot of Indians that come over here to go to school, and then they go back. And they go and rebuild their communities, and you know, they basically have all that intellectual property, and they take it back home. And, you know, they got crazy shit like skyscrapers and, you know, like Chinese and everybody. You know, they use the tools and some of the innovation that we put here, and they take it back with them. So, yeah, the American dream is possible. I can say, like, for them.
So, when, you know, when we're looking at the actual population, because as clearly it's basically due to the foreigners, like, you know, when they come from where they come from, it's a little, I'm pretty sure it's more oppressive. The economy or the money situation out there isn't as good, or at least on the surface is not as good. They're not able to have that type of schooling or whatever that we have that we can offer them that's better from their home country. So when switching gears to the American who's been here or whatever, I agree with you when it comes to, you know, being used to where you're living and becoming complacent in what you have. Like, there are a lot of rights and freedoms that, even though we are, especially as two black men, even though we are oppressed in one sense, we still have American rights that kind of trump other countries who are still in a majorly, like, you know, dictatorship or just oppressed overall. When it comes to the American dream, what do you think we're lacking, and what do you think we can do to push forward in making our American dream come true?
I don't know, like, I guess, since, you know, Like, I'm going to school. Like, I'm going to be one of those people with a nice chunk of debt, like, when I finish college or anything. But, you know, for some people, you got to really understand yourself, I guess, because I'm learning that my family isn't dirt poor, but we're poor. Like, my mom, like, she got her degree a few years ago, you know, so I'm proud of her for doing that. And, you know, we were living okay, you know, we were living, like, you know, the paycheck to paycheck life in my household, you know, until my mom realized that, you know, hey, I got to go to school. Like, this is that, you know, because that's just what she knew. My family, we don't have a whole bunch of privileged people in my family where we can, like, get an extra boost. You know, just having more access to opportunities. Like, my mom, she realized she had to go to school. Like, that was her only way, like, to make sure that we could have at least some better kind of living. Right. And, you know, that's kind of how I am, too. I don't know a whole bunch, you know. That's kind of what I'm in college for now, so I can learn more, and it had to pay off. Like, I know a shitload of stuff than I did, like, before, like, in places, you know, check out and really just explore my horizons. Like, college has done that for me. Like, I'm one of those people that, you know, college practically was, like, the only ticket for me to get to that next level, or, like, social mobility, as they call it, you know, so I can get to that, maybe, you know, supposed middle class status or what little other we have left. You know?
Right, right. And, you know, that seems like that was always the solution for my mom to me. My mom always told me to go to college, make sure you graduate high school, go to college, make sure you get a degree, make sure you get education, make sure you go to college. My mother actually is a financial aid director, and she worked at universities and, you know, other schools and stuff like that. And my mom, of course, wanted me to go to school, and I tried it for a little bit. And just me personally, it wasn't really my thing. And I feel like due to how I behaved in high school, it already kind of conditioned my mind to never want to go to school again. So that was my thing. But when we're looking at situations like yours, where like school was a big thing and you actually pursued it, when you're trying to win, it seems like the best idea. And we talked on last week's episode, me and Ryan, about the debt part, where you're accumulating all of this debt in pursuit of, you know, your dreams and stuff like that. And that's cool if you know what risk you're putting up, and your risk is worth what you're going to receive in the end. But I still feel like in your pursuit or your journey on trying to get the American dream, there are still a lot of things in place that hinder you. Like, how is it that poor people who try their hardest, like these are, I'm not talking about the lazy people, I'm talking about the people who actually are working hard and they're actually trying to make it to the next level. It's real hard to tell that person that their thing is on the horizon, and it'd be believable if they see people who aren't working as hard as them, who may have had like a leg up here and there and were able to surpass them even though they were working harder.
Are you talking about maybe, like, people who just got, like, terrible credit, like, no type of...
Yeah, like, that's the people I'm talking about, because it's a lot of those people. I don't know if a lot of people know that they're people who have the most terrible credit scores, who had to make decisions to ruin their credit so they could eat, so they can keep a house over their head. Like, they were in pursuit of the American dream just like anybody else, but it seems that their version of the American dream is more of a nightmare. It's more of like just piles of red numbers, like just debt, and they can't really make it out. And when they have a little opportunity and see that that opportunity is taken away from them due to maybe the job is outsourcing work now, or somebody coming in who knew the manager or the supervisor got bumped up, or the company had to let people go, and those are the people to go first. Even though when you look at a business or a corporation or whatever, it's the workers that keep things going. That's what keeps the lights on. I worked for a Democratic call center where I called people and I raised funds for Obama, the Democratic convention, like the DNC, the DCCC, all of those people. You know what I'm saying? I was calling people, bugging old people all day to raise these funds for the Democratic Party. And it's like, from off the stats, we raised, not just me as like my company, but we raised from the total of all call center grassroots campaigns, we raised millions of dollars for Obama and the campaign and the Democratic campaign. So if you were, and this is the same job, like I quit, but a year and a half later, that company was dead, son. Like, they dropped the entire company. Now, these are people who are passionate about politics. Of course, there were other people like me in there who were just looking for a job, needed a job, and would have sold whatever. But there were people who were believing the things that they were telling these people on the phone, and they lost their job fighting for the American dream, fighting for this candidate or this party or whatever to get the American dream to come true for them, and they had to be fired. So it's like, when you look at the people with the low credit scores, these are the jobs that they can get. But these people weren't balling. They were barely making any money. It's because it's a call center. You got paid commission on top of a stipend or whatever. So you would make $7. But if you landed a great donation or a great sale or whatever, you would get more per check and shit like that. So these jobs were low level jobs. They weren't high paying jobs at all. And now that shit doesn't even exist.
Basically, living in America is like a big-ass lottery, pretty much. Somehow, I just got dealt a better hand. But I also think the American dream can be molded again, because every generation previous to ours and for our parents and going back then, like, it fucking sucked back then. Like, it might have been from back then what that standard of what the economy was doing great. You know, the American dream was alive, you know, but, you know, we're in the 21st century now. And, you know, shit is, like, way different here. We have a fully established, like, nation now. Like, we're power. Like, we can do whatever the hell we want over here. We're, you know, supposedly number one. We blew the fuck up.
Right.
America is like the Jay-Z of the world, kind of. Like, you know, we like bossed up in like 500 years. You know, like, hey, we America, like, we number one. You know, but yeah, we are still like fairly young. You know, it's like a societal thing. Like, yeah, everybody that's ever born here or comes here, like, is not going to have a super glorious life. You know, like, it's really, you just gotta work with what you got. Like, you gotta have ambition and drive. You could get by. It's like one of those countries where, hey, at least you can make it somehow. You just gonna be shit. You know, if you don't really do what you gotta do, then you just SOL, like, pretty much. Like, you know, this is just how my country works. Like, you know, I hate it, like, how things work here right now. But, you know, we just got to do what we got to do, man.
Just piggybacking or just stemming for what you just said, when it comes to living an all right life, right? I don't think that a lot of people want to be this mega rich millionaire, billionaire person who can just, you know, just have living, you know, just crazy mansions and stuff like that. I believe the majority of people just want to live comfortably. And I don't think that that's being done. Like, I feel like it's only two sides. It's either if you're rich or you're poor. I've just seen an article where it was talking about, like, as a list of a few things that middle class people can't even do anymore because it's like out of their range. The activities used to be, you know, they used to be able to be done by just the average Joe. Now it's more so reserved for the rich because of the state of the country. Forget that that's, you know, that's just extracurricular, whatever. But to be able to have a solid home, be able to pay all your bills, all your utilities, pay rent or mortgage and all of that stuff, just the basics, those things are not being done. And I feel like the residents of this country, worldwide too, but since we're speaking about the American dream, the people in this country shouldn't have to break their backs to get the bare minimums. If you want to work hard and become a millionaire or billionaire, that's totally fine. That's encouraged even. But I feel like if you wanted to work 40 hours a week, be able to have a regular job, have a home and all of that stuff, it shouldn't be as hard as trying to be a millionaire.
Tell you one quick little story. Like, I used to work at a hotel doing housekeeping and stuff. And one morning I walked in, one of my coworkers was talking about, I think something about school or, you know, she was having money problems or something. And I asked her, I'm like, you ever thought about going back to school? And she's like, no, I'm about to go back to school and I don't know, like, I ain't got time for college and, you know, or I don't want to pay all those bills and debts or whatever. It's like, okay, right, that's understandable, but are you going to be satisfied, like, just sticking around here being a housekeeper? I don't know, another few years or so. I'm trying to, like, you make sense of saying that she had an option. You know, she chose not to do that. She was fine with that. How, you know, she just decided how she was going to get by. You know, she's just as American as I am.
Right.
You know, so it's like she has those opportunities available to her, but she just doesn't want to do it, you know. And that's like, I think that's the case for almost everybody that lives here. You know, even if you are like dirt poor, you know, like the crackhead on the street, I'm not a psychologist or anything like that. You know, I don't know how a crackhead, you know, choose crack over having a better life. But, you know, hey, that, again, that's a part of the American dream. You got the choice to do that. You know, so it's ironic, like, in a lot of ways. Like, you got the freedom to go ahead and choose crack instead of going to school. You know, and I know it comes, it gets more complex than that because, you know, you got environments and cultures that you grew up in and just things that you learned growing up as a human. So, but we're like in America, like I can't really say how that would be in China. I'm sure they can go ahead and smoke crack too. You know, I don't know too much about China's general character, you know.
Yeah, their policy.
I know, it's just only just from what, you know, little bits I read and, you know, stuff from the news and all that. But it's like here in America, it's like you do have a choice. And, you know, I think also you have to realize that being an American, you want to, you know, even if you want to live comfortably, you don't have to be a millionaire or any of that. You gotta make some sacrifices. Like, I think that's also a part of the American dream. You know, history is wild, but the forefathers and everybody, like, a lot of sacrifices had to be made to even make the country possible. You know, so that kind of, like, trickled down on us. You know, it's kind of like survival of the fittest, but it's not a complete disaster. That concept.
Yeah, no, I totally dig it, man. I dig what you're saying. I just feel like in the era that we're in now, we're in the 21st century where we could download things in seconds and we're so advanced in certain ways, but still sort of primitive. Because, you know, the point that I was making when it comes to the poor and all of that stuff, like, I just feel like that's unnecessary. And I also feel like capitalism is a problem in that sense, because capitalism wouldn't be what it is today if it wasn't for poor people in poverty. Because capitalism or corporations and the things that they do, they thrive and they stay in business off of making sure that they spend way less than they make or make way more than they spend. And when you're hoarding or keeping that much money, it suffocates the economy. So when they're only making money and not putting it back into the economy, that's being taken out of the hands and the pockets and the homes of the people who can't afford to be in that position that they're in, to be able to soak in that corporation money. When we're looking at how Walmart cleared, I think, $473 billion, and the average Walmart worker is like can barely pay rent, that's why I feel like is the problem. There's no way that as an individual I could have that much money, at almost $500 billion, and then see that there's an employee that I have somewhere in New Mexico that can't pay for their home or can't pay for gas or can't pay for heat or whatever it is. So I feel like in that sense, the American dream to those corporations is to be that wealthy. And the only way to be that wealthy in this country is to take away from the people who don't have anything, really.
Well, they just don't have any type of opportunities. We don't like all these rules, right? So, but has anybody really, like, when was the last time we had a serious voting? Like a voting turnout when Obama was president, right? And then, all right, so that was cool. We got the black guy for president, and you know, we thought shit was cool. Yeah, it was for like a couple years. And, you know, you watch the news, shit, but it got crazy like real quick.
Yeah, like, real quick. It got fucked up.
You know, we supposedly got Osama. I don't know what the hell happened with him. You know, I'm kind of tissue on that deal, but. Like it was cool, and then we got lazy as a people, and people don't vote, man. That's what I'm trying to get at here. People do not vote, and isn't that ironically like a part of the American dream too? Black, even black folks can vote now, like, and that's a part of the American dream.
So do you know the numbers offhand of the black votes in America and how many vote or as opposed to how many don't?
No, I don't know. I know it's very low. I know that.
See, I was under the impression that the black vote, as far as the black community is concerned, was pretty average. I didn't think it was, you know, extra high because I'm a black person and I didn't vote.
It might be. If it is, it's like, you know, just average, like simply average. I mean, if we don't step this shit up, like, it's definitely going to go down, especially like this up and coming generation with us and, you know, our little brothers and sisters and whatnot. The only peaceful tool that we do have left is voting. Like, have we ever really tried to vote and see what that says? You know, it's like, hey, the people fucking want this and that. Like, have we ever really tried that? We need to vote more. Like, for real. I truly believe that's what we need to do, like, as a people.
Here's the way I look at it. And, you know, I agree with you to a certain degree. Now, I believe that the unity that we would need and have to get all of our votes together is what's needed. But I also feel like American politics is a lot of bullshit. You know, I can't just totally subscribe to it because I know I've seen and I felt the dirty tricks of politics. So my point is, if we unified in a number and we actually knew who our neighbor was, actually cared about our neighbor and started to come together in these small communities and speak on what we wanted, then I feel like our vote will be going to something. But I don't dig blindly voting because a lot of these politicians, they bank on that.
Don't blindly vote. You know, do your research. You know, we in the internet age now. I'm like, use the damn internet for what it's been for and do your research. Yeah. You know, don't do those, you know, because, you know, TV is
anything. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, when it comes to voting, though, and politicians, there are a great number of people who really dead-ass vote off of the headshot, off their profile, or how they speak, or what, you know what I'm saying? It's not totally, maybe not necessarily what they said, it was how they said it, what cologne or what they looked like. It's a lot of other things that's factors when it comes to voting for people. And I think it's important to educate. I think the primary thing for us to do in gaining our unity and then talking about using that unity to vote and stuff like that is to educate.
Education in America as a whole is just, like, shitty.
Right, right.
It's in, like, it's this little chaotic state right now. You know, that's just me saying as a person in school right now, especially, like, higher education, where college is going, and, you know, how are we going to teach our kids? Because kids are, like, getting smarter. Hell, kids get smarter faster than we did. You know,
right.
Little kids, because we didn't have like computers and tablets and all kinds of shit.
Hell no, nah, man. My daughter is 5 years old, man, and she can like use a tablet like proficiently, like she can really use it, you know what I'm saying? Like, and now I'm using it as a tool, so if she wants to search something on YouTube, I make her type it herself, so she has to identify the letters and then she has to spell the word. Like, she's been on this huge My Little Pony thing, so now she has to type in MYLITTLE, you know what I'm saying? Like, she has to do it herself, and she knows how to, and it's helping her learn how to write, read and write. They're soaking up so much information, and it's hard for us to keep up because we have this just the same way as like our generation before us. We got to be able to push things forward. So because they're pushing things forward, we want them to soak up the right information. And it's going to get to the point that where my daughter is going to be 20. She's going to be, you know what I'm saying, at voting age. She's going to be an adult soon. I can't even front. Like, it, like when we're talking about a timeline, like that's not even a far away thing. Like, people have 10-year, 20-year plans. So it's like when my daughter is a voting age and she can do the things she needs to do as an adult, I want her to be able to be educated first and foremost, but I still want the institutions that she's living in, whatever it is with America, to at least have her best interests at heart, yo. And I feel like a lot of people, especially coming from where we come from, being poor, we're already told that we got to do extra shit just to make the basic. And I feel like that's wrong. I feel like that's not how you're supposed to prosper. I feel like the people who win, and I'm talking about the guys that we look at as billionaires or wealthy or whatever, like the way they got there was they had more help than anybody. They had people that they knew or their family or whatever. Like, these people that are coming up from the gutter, man, we have, all we have is each other, and we don't use that as a resource. So even though we're exchanging a lot of information because of the internet and stuff like that, and our kids are getting smarter, I still feel like the information of person to person and being able to unify the numbers is not being done, and a big part of that is hindering us from winning as a people.
We're living in some weird times. We like the internet generation now, you know. So I'm like, you know, this game has changed like a lot.
Right.
Like, as far as, you know, information. But the beauty of it is that we do have access to that information. We need to educate just how to sift through that information, because it's like, it's just everywhere. Kind of like how, like, you know, when we were in grade school, we had to do context clues. Like, we had to read the sentences.
Yeah, or even, like, going to the library, and we had to, like, learn how to use the Dewey Decimal System. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, we had to go and find the book. It's just as hard, because you had to find the book, find the page, find whatever paragraph on the page, find, you know what I'm saying, all of this stuff. So it's no different than these kids going on Google and having, in a 0.15 seconds, have 100 pages of Google results, you know what I'm saying? And you have to be able to find what's the certified or the accredited source and stuff like that. But even with that, man, when our country is trying to push forward with the generation that we're in and the generation after us, because, you know, like I said, I have a, you know, my kid, I got to look at those, that age group now, because that's important to me. So when I'm looking at this, man, how or what is going to be next to education the thing that we need to do pushing forward?
It really just all connects to the politics here in the country. And to be honest, you know, I mean, realizing we got a whole bunch of old, dried-up white men that are outdated as fuck. Like, making our laws, you know, basically controlling how we live. Like, basically ran by a group of old-ass white people.
Yeah.
with some black and a little bit of diversity sprinkled in, but, you know, mostly old, dried-up white people. And, like, I already said this, like, many people, but it's like, we just honestly have to wait our turn. Like, until it's our turn and our generation gets into the White House, and even then, we don't know what the hell's going to happen, because that's about another 20 years away. So, you know, so we got about another couple decades of clusterfuck before, you know, we turn.
It comes back to us. And I dig that. That was one of the things I was talking to with a friend. It's just like, we gotta wait till they all die off. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, it's just like that. Like, because, you know, you gotta understand, things just don't happen overnight. You know, the birth of the country didn't happen overnight. That shit took probably centuries. Like, that was probably centuries in planning. You gotta give shit time. It's like, we just gonna have to do the best that we can. Like, but I'm really, like, I try to encourage people to vote. Me, I honestly believe, in my opinion, that's probably like the last tool that we have left. But now when they got fucking iron tank transformers and shit like that, when we go out and protest, what are we gonna do now? You know?
Yeah, I feel like that is one of our last hopes. When I look at those people that's been out there for over 100 days now, and they've been protesting, encouraging when it was voting, that was that Tuesday, and it was the midterms and all of that stuff. They were encouraging young black people, period, to vote and register to vote and stuff like that, because those people out there, who I commend greatly, because that shows true dedication, that you're able to stomp and march and yell and speak on the behalf of somebody for over 100 days just to get some justice. So I definitely salute and commend them. And when it comes to them needing something to hold on to, their voting rights, especially because this is stemming from a racial thing where their grandparents or great grandparents weren't able to vote. So they have that, plus Mike Brown being killed, like all of these things. So, of course, they take great pride in being able to vote and stand up and speak on something. And I still feel like that makes more sense when it's a group of people who are banded together to make change.
You remember we were talking about Africa, you know, how Abuja, you know, and
yeah,
how like a super metropolis, like, you know, shit, that's happening everywhere. Like, the whole world is becoming modern. But like, we're modern Americans. Like, shit, we got fortunate enough to skip, like, the first two world wars and the Great Depression and fucking Civil War and all that other crazy shit that happened with the country's history. You know, we landed in, most of us, or people my age anyway, you know, and like, we landed in the 90s. Shit was smooth in the 90s, you know, there. 9/11 happened, and, you know, okay, now so we like post 9/11 kids, too. Like, that just changed the game, like, around the world, you know, everything just got tighter, but somehow we just still spoiled here because, you know, we Americans. Like, even though everything ain't sweet and golden here, like, at least we are still, like, a lot better off than a lot of the world. Like, even though, like, our politics are, like, super fucked up right now. But, you know, we still spoiled.
That was going to be my next point, is the living in excess. Like, people who, you know, of course, at the top of the list is food because there's world hunger and stuff like that. You know, food is at the top of the list. I think hoarding money is definitely top five. I feel like living in excess and buying things that out of your means is hindering the people as well. We're talking about buying things outside of your means or buying too much of something, because it's like billions of pounds of food that we throw away. Because that translates into billions of dollars, that lets me know that money could have went to something that was way better and fundamentally gonna improve our quality of life. You know, holiday season is coming around. It's gonna be a lot of gifts purchased that people won't even pick up from the store. They ordered it online or they pre-ordered it, they put it on layaway, and they will never ever pick that gift up. But the money was already spent. And they're not even thinking about that money. They're moving on to the next whatever. They're worrying about the New Year's Eve party or whatever. The living in excess part is also a part of the American dream. I remember watching a commercial, and I'm pretty sure you've seen it, where they're like bragging about a 90-inch TV, and the guy has like two lawnmowers or whatever. It's like, you want more. You want, yeah. Like, you saw that commercial. Like, the American dream is fit to tell you that you need to have more than what you need, or you want to have more than what you need, or you deserve to have more than what you need. And that's a part of the American dream. Like, that's where, you know, everything's bigger in Texas and you can have a huge, big triple decker burger and all of this stuff. But there's still people with protruding stomachs in other parts of the world. Like, it's celebrated, encouraged, and advised that we live in excess. And this is coming from a country who was supposed to be one of the most powerful countries in the world, but has one of the highest debts as well. And that's a perpetuation of an actual mind state. Like, even though I'm in the negative, I'm still going to spend more. I'm still going to consume. That's crazy. Like, I have seen people keep eating after they're totally full, keep buying stuff after they don't even need it, just hoarding stuff away. And then you add the fact that we're poor at the same time, you kind of look at the American dream, like I said, as a nightmare. It's really not what you think it is, at least to me.
Yeah, I mean, that goes back to, you know, just our country kind of being based on, you know, a model of survival of the fittest. If you grew up, let's say, in Russia, you know, and compared to, you know, let's say early Russia versus early America. Well, no, let's say like World War II America in Russia. You know, Russia, they're communism. So, I mean, if you were born in Russia, you can already expect what kind of life, you know, you would have. You know, unless being born under communism compared to having a democracy, you know, like America, where anything goes. You know, you could go either up or down. At least you have some kind of fighting chance to move up. I don't know a whole bunch about communism. I know enough about it. You know, it's like, you pretty much just down here. Like, you are Russia's bitch. At least, you know, we got a chance over here. So, like, I'm just kind of compared to, like, now I'm just trying to relate the American dream, you know, to just being all about choice. You know, I believe, you know, me just being an optimist. Like, I believe it's always a way out, you know, but that also requires some sacrifice. Like, you know, a little bit of America had to sacrifice a lot too to become America. Like, you know, I guess, you know, supposed to be number one, and, you know, he's owned by the World Bank pretty much, and we just spend whatever, you know, but somehow we worked our way into that position.
Right.
As a country, you know, so I don't know, America's special. Like, we got it going on over here, but it's fucked up.
Right.
America is a big-ass double-edged sword.
it's never been, for the average guy, it's never been, you know, point A to point B. Like, it's always A1, A2. You know, like, it's always like a sub thing that you have to deal with. And it's not as straightforward as you would like it to be, or as straightforward as foreigners see it. You know, foreigners come over and be like, well, I get here, I go to school, I prosper, and move on. But I feel like living here, you get a little bit more conditioned to, first of all, like we were talking about before, be a little complacent, and then be excessive, and then not work as hard to maintain any of those things. Like, it's just supposed to be there. When we're looking at the translation of the American dream to today, compared to how it was when it first came about, I feel like the American dream has been construed into something. It's not totally tangible. It's like it's something that is more of a fantasy now. That's why I was getting at, where I was saying that it's an illusion, because these things are real hard to grasp in today's climate. Like, it's real hard to believe that somebody growing up in the slums or the hoods of Michigan are going to make it to the lavish neighborhood. It's real hard for them to see that happening. And when you look at the stats and you look at the numbers and see that poor people are still getting poorer, it's not getting better. What is left? What is left to hold on to but this idea that they can be rich at the end of the day?
You know, even after with the birth and start of America, like, there were poor Europeans that, you know, basically said, fuck Europe. Like, I want to go to America, because they also had that dream. You know, that's what I said, going back to the American frontier, when America was just raw forest, and, you know, we just had the colonies just getting ourselves established over there, and, you know, decided to expand it outward, you know, towards the West, slowly but surely over America's history. Those people still had, like, they still held on to that, and a lot of them were poor. A lot of, like, American success is based on, in my opinion, like, just preparation, preparing, you know, to go that extra mile. Everybody will go chase the same thing as you, but only a few of them will actually get it. You know, that's just kind of the name of the game over here. With our country, you know, in America, it's always been like that. You know, all these crazy-ass laws and stuff like that just got a little more complicated, but the foundation is still the same. Everybody still thinks we can make it. Like, that's why everybody else comes over here. It's like, oh, anything is possible over here. I can do this and that and start a business. People still come over here to go to school because we do have a hell of an education system that's just changing. I don't think it's a terrible system. It just needs, like, a lot of work. But, you know, shit, we still get a lot of foreigners from around the world that want to come over here and go to, like, U of M. Like, U of M one of the best universities in the entire world.
That's dope.
You know, so everybody, like, around the world, like, here and everywhere, like, still has that kind of dream, at least of what draws them to this country anyway. And that's, like, for people like us that were born here, that dream is still there, too. It's just, you know, through a different set of eyes. You got to put yourself out there. You got that choice. You either want to advance, and if you want to advance, it's going to take sacrifice. Or you have a choice of just being cool, too. Like, you know, some people don't want to go to school and just, you know, do this, that, and the other. Like, that's cool. At least you got that kind of choice, and you can still make it here.
In the climate that we're in now, if these people, like we was just saying, how they don't want to, you know, really want to push that hard, or they don't want to make that much of a wave, they just want to be able to live comfortably. That's the point that I'm making, that it's still pretty difficult. I just feel like with how we treat the things that we consume, whether it be food or materials or whatever, I feel like we abuse it. Even poor people. I see a lot of poor people use excess in places that they really shouldn't, or it wouldn't be positive for them to do it, but they do it anyway. So I feel like it's all just blurry for the person now. And I don't think that it's so much that they don't want to work, but they don't know what they're working towards. They don't know what they're working for. That's why with the internet and the way modern technology is, you got a whole bunch of YouTube kids. Like, kids who have YouTube pages who only want to be just in front of the camera and be stars, because that's one of the only things that's made accessible to everybody. This is a podcast. Like, I came out of nowhere with a podcast. I didn't research journalism. I didn't go to school for journalism. I brought absolutely no figures or facts into this podcast, but I'm still able to do it. When it comes to these kids, man, they're not shown any other way than to be like, yo, I either got to be a rapper or entertainer or some type of sensation, whatever field that they're going to go into, whatever. They have to be this some type of sensation. They have to go so hard just so they can take it easy, like in a sense that it's not even like they're trying to be millionaires essentially, but they feel like they have to be a millionaire just to live comfortably. And I just feel like that's where the American dream steers these kids wrong, and that's what the American dream is turning into. And it's just the, instead of the just building on your hard work and stuff like that, it's just to make sure that you get rich as quick as possible so you can get within the 1% and be able to, you know, start buying more and more. Like, they're only going, it's not an educational based thing, it's monetary. They want to be able to get out the hood and have money to spend money on shit that they really don't need. It's what they want. It's material, it's nice, it goes fast, it looks good on you, it may even feel good, but it's not fundamental for them as human beings. And I feel like that's where things get a little misconstrued, to where now when you look at the examples of the kids who come out of the hood and they make a little bit of money, the first thing they do is buy a car and they lease it. They don't buy a car that they can afford, like a 2008 Nissan. They go buy the 2012 Lamborghini and they gotta put payments on it. These are the things that are being encouraged for not just black kids or whatever, like just poor people who wanna make it and who wanna live in a nice home somewhere in a nice neighborhood with low crime and all of that stuff. They have to become these rich people now. And that's what I was saying, where it's really not even a quote unquote middle class. It's truly people who are one bonus check from being rich or one day off from being broke. Like, and that's is just what it is. The straddling the fence of being prosperous or failures.
I mean, you gotta think about, like, the time you do this. Like, back in the 90s, we, like, flourished in the 90s for the most part. And then, you know, like, 9/11 happened and we took a little dip. And then, like, 2008 came and it was just like, what the fuck? You know, like, the whole, like, world just, like, shut down on, you know, it wasn't just us, like, this was the entire damn world. The 2008, you know, financial crisis basically, like, transformed what an economy is. Like, it's like the whole principle, like, an economy to me, you know. And it's like, it affected America in a way, it's like, where you have to really think about making it on your own. Like, it's really, I don't know, it's testing our survival. Because, like, in about the next 10 to 20 years, about half of America's population is going to be self-employed. Because, you know, we outsource the jobs, we just lose the jobs more than we're making them. I plan on doing, in about a few years, really starting my own thing. You know, I'm in school and everything, so I'm just trying to get the experience first.
Right.
You know, before I, like, go out and start branching out on my own, you know, making connections and all that. But, yeah, that's the direction our economy, America's economy, is in. So, honestly, you know, even though we're talking about school and all that, it might be a good idea to go to school even still, because, you know, with the economic climate, you know, not just here but around the world, you can do your own shit. You know, some people don't need to go to school for that. Some people do. If you go to school for it, it's not a bad thing. Just know what you're doing. Don't just walk in like blind. School's going to change, too, because it's going to be more of a skill-based market instead of a college degree. But people, you know, with the economy looking the way it is, people can't really take chances on you anymore. You know, as an employee, you know, because that shit costs money.
Exactly.
And money is the whole thing that started this mess. So, with college and everything, like, I could agree, I'm getting this not a technical one. So I'm like, okay, I kind of feel a little bit ahead of the curve because, you know, like, I'm working on certain skills. You know, I had a degree by my name. You know, at least it shows that I'm college educated. I'm very teachable. I might know a little something. You know, going to school, people are not going to spend thousands of dollars to be tens of thousands of dollars in debt when they just need to go take classes or get a trade. You know, trades are going to be a good thing still. You know, especially like if you're going into your own business, like half of the population is going to be in about a couple decades.
And that just supports what I was saying as far as the kids, you know, wanting to be stars. But there are a lot of people in our generation, including myself, including you, and a lot of other people that we know in our daily lives that don't really want to work for anybody. They want to go into business for themselves. And a lot of the time in our generation, that's all we've been doing. You know, we're in the generation where burning CDs was a thing. Like, that was a new thing. I hopped on that trend when it first popped off. I was letting Yeah, like I was trapping off mixed CDs in middle school, bro, when you were like kind of balling if you had a DVD a CD burner in your crib. I'm coming from that era, you know, and you were in that same era. So it's like, it's now, it doesn't really make much sense to us to be slaving away and working for somebody when I know I have a dream or I have something in my head that I can make me money, that can make me famous, or they can make me rich, or whatever it is that the goal is. And it could just be, you know, a personal thing that they want to fulfill. They are already firm in that working at Starbucks, you know what I'm saying, 40 hours a week is not what they consider their version of the American dream. So going to school to be able to network with people and make moves that way, I feel like that is a good thing about college. But other things, you know, like I said, like the tuition and all of that garbage, like I feel like that's unnecessary. But the networking involved in the schooling and the people that you meet, those connections and those relationships will last you a lifetime if they're worth it. And a lot of the times they are. Like a lot of successful business people go into business with people that they met in college. So I give college that. And I give our generation not wanting to work for people as much as they want to work with people.
Yeah, like I think I'd rather work with people instead of like for a whole bunch of people. Like, well, you see what's going on with cable and everything. You see how some of the networks starting to go off by the spell because, I mean, you know, they got the viewer base and customer base because you got stuff like the internet. Like, you can literally make yourself a brand now. It's like easier than ever to do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's like the internet made it possible. Well, you know, that's just kind of a reflection of where our economy as, you know, as a country is like going. Everybody's doing their own thing. Like independent is like the new wave.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, what's going on in music, like it's just going on in dances in general. And I think like I really think that's a direct result of the 2008 crisis, you know, that happened. Because we lost a shitload of jobs, like when that happened. A lot of people lost jobs. Because corporate America is prime now. Like Apple, you know, some company, Apple ain't going nowhere. Google ain't going nowhere.
Nah, never. And yeah, you definitely see the uprising of independent businesses more and more. And I've been wanting to support more independent businesses, more local businesses, because they need it the most. Walmart, all these other big corporations are going to clear whatever they clear every year, no matter what.
Walmart practically here forever, like something like
drastically changes, you know what I'm saying? Like people are like addicted to Walmart. So, you know, I would rather spend my money at the local shop or whatever, you know. And even when we're talking about going into business for yourself, your supplier, try to find people who are independent in that sense so they won't rape you with the price. You know, it's like stuff like that, being able to build these relationships through business. I feel like that's what's going to have our generation win over the previous generation or the people that we're trying to get to die off out of Congress and stuff want.
Yeah, I mean, we got social media for that. You know, like social media actually kind of made it easier to like these strangers like shit. Hey, I met y'all through social media.
Word, like me and you became friends from Twitter, like, and all of that. So it's like, it just shows that social media and the internet is a major tool and is used now, specifically in this sense, as far as for independent business and stuff like that. And it's healthy for you. And I think that living in America, you'll always have that principle or that mission statement that we're gonna start from the bottom and make it to the top and succeed overall. And that's dope. I feel like we shouldn't ever let that go. But I do feel like there should be things in place to make that possible for the people who don't even know where to start or don't know if that dream will ever come true in their lifetime or their, you know, kids' lifetime or whatever. Like, there's still a lot of people who have almost given up hope, or who have given up hope, or just don't see any other way out. And I feel like those are the people that the American dream should cater to first, or before people who may have already known the powers of the American dream or the powers of resources and stuff like that. People like born into business or have a good foot in the door already, and they're not really that educated in the field and stuff like that. Like, I feel like if you take them away and you start putting more people who don't have shit into the mix, it will make it better for the country. And I don't feel like you need to sacrifice the lives of a population of poor people just so one person out of that community could make it, or a couple people out of that community can make it, or for the dominant society to keep making it off of them being poor.
You know, like, you think about what, if half of our population practically is going to be self-employed, you know, even with Apple and all these other huge corporations that, you know, we, you know, as a country pumps money into pretty much, America still, like, thrives on small business. The corporations, you know, just being assholes and, like, getting all the tax cuts, but just getting away with a lot of bullshit. You know, but I think if we have half of our population self-employed, that's like saying half of America's money off of, you know, so I think America will, you know, the government will want to invest more into small businesses, because that's where our economic climate as a country is going.
Okay, so, you know, one of the final questions I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to let you go, bro, and I really do appreciate you, you know, calling in. Yo, man, do it, man. Do it, and then you have me on your shit. And then, you know, that's how we're going to shake it from there. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes to the American dream, in November 2014, what is your advice for the person that's trying to have the American dream come true for them, whether they were born here or they just got here today?
I'll say that the American dream is definitely still, it's still very possible, and you have to be willing to be bold and, like, adventurous, like, especially as an American, or anybody that wants to come here to live, to, you know, live as an American. It's a new time to be bold and, like, adventurous, and just be curious and open yourself to opportunities, because, like, even if you are, like, dirt poor or you just don't have anything, and, like, at least you still live in a country where there is a possibility that you can progress, you know? It's still here. I think that's kind of like the beauty of our country a little bit. Like, I'm hopeful. Even in about another decade, I think stuff will start turning around, regardless of, like, World War III around the corner and crazy shit. Yeah, it's still going to be a lot of crazy shit, but I think we're going to get it together as Americans, especially with our generation on the horizon, too. Like, I'm sure we'll fix a lot of shit. The history is very, like, it's related to every generation, you know? Like, if we've been getting better, know, with each generation, we fixed a lot of shit that we've done, like, in the past, even though we still got a long ways to go. You know, you just got to stop it. You know, you got to think about milestones like that, because shit just doesn't happen overnight. So, you know, if we just good as a generation, we teach our kids, you know, fiction and look at the world the right way, like our parents are doing. Like, look at, you know, they tell you, you know, look at this and that, you know, like, hopefully how it fits. You know, they kind of put their hopes into us. You know, we got to do that with the next generation, especially with these little young kids now that need more, like, direction and guidance, like, more than ever, because they just got access to everything. It's like information overload, and, you know, they don't know what to do with all that. So, you gotta steer them in the right direction.
I told you niggas that the nigga Steez had gems and he knew what he was talking about. I don't think I told y'all that. I'm just lying. I'll just be saying shit. But yeah, I really do appreciate him calling in and letting me know, because he restored a little bit of the American dream in me, for real. Because before this recording, I really didn't fuck with it. I really thought it was, like I said, an illusion or a myth. It was just something that they told us so we could just keep breaking our backs on their behalf. But when he broke it down for me, I can definitely understand how the next generation and the generation after that could prosper. Now, some things I wanted to clear up. I asked him in the episode, did he know the numbers on black voters against the numbers of black non-voters? And these are the stats. There's 44.5 million reported black people in this country, projected to be about 77 million by 2060. And out of those 44 million people, 17.8 million of them vote. That's 66.2% of blacks. And they voted in 2012. So I just wanted to clear that up, get those, you know, numbers out there to let people know what the fuck it is when it comes to the black population in America. And when it comes to their voting, 60% of people coming together, that means a lot. But I still feel like we need at least 80% unity so we can make a statement out here when it comes to voting. So, not going to talk your ears off. Appreciate you guys listening. Next week, I have another great friend of mine calling in, and we're going to be talking about black feminism, which is something that's been, you know, all over my timeline for like the past year and a half, and I really want to get some answers. So, the homie Story Harris will be on, and we'll talk about it. As always, stay intelligent, stay rebellious, squad.
Time.